T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
1 o'clock hour for us here on Cody and Gold. Alex Gold, Cody Tapp, Stephen Serto with you. Final hour of the week. Nice little long weekend ahead. Memorial Day weekend. We're going to find out what we're watching over Memorial Day weekend in about 15 minutes. Our weekend movie nominations. Head to 610 Sports KC on Twitter. You got about 20 minutes or so left to get your votes in on that. Nicolas Cage movies was the theme of the week. Checking the results. I don't even need to check.
I'm gonna win.
We knew the minute
we'll double check.
The minute you picked National Treasure, it was pretty much a done deal.
No regrets. I like National Treasure, and I will not apologize for it.
I heard during the break one of the promos that's running, and Carrington's talking some trash about my food takes, which we've discussed multiple times on this show. But then he's saying all this, and I noticed yesterday on Twitter. He's out here talking about Chex Mix and says that the Rideship is the worst one of the bunch. Who picks the Rideship as the worst one of the bunch? I am a picky eater and stuff, but how's the Rideship?
It's the best one.
So
the breadstick's terrible.
But so the one food thing that you're willing to argue about and the hill that you're willing to die on is a Rideship?
Yes. I mean, he's out here talking about my terrible food takes, and he's over here saying the Rideship is the worst of the Chex Mix. I don't know, I got to bring someone else in on this as well. Pete Sweeney, it's time to talk with him, editor-in-chief, of course, over at Arrowhead Pride. We'll get to some of the comments today from Andy Reid, but Chex Mix, what's the worst piece of the bunch?
You know, it's not the Rideship. I think that was a really, really bad take. I probably wanted the bland Chex Mix cereal chips. I think you take the Chex out of the Chex Mix and just have yourself a mix.
Just a mix.
Or at least one of the Chex, right? We don't need both kinds. Also, Sir is right. You don't hold much water in the, like, you don't hold much weight in the good food takes department.
See, a lot of times, though, I don't think it's so much my food take. It's just a lot of it comes down to the condiments. In what is on the food. Like I've told you, baked potato, you guys think it's a terrible food take because I only want butter on my baked potato. I'm not saying it's a bad food item. I don't like the extra sour cream as a condiment.
Yeah, but we've already... Yeah. But Pete, he won't like eat sushi.
A lot of people don't eat sushi.
But it's not just that. There's a lot of foods you don't eat. Your list is very long. Concerningly long.
I am a picky eater.
Pete's out here making like scratch food on Instagram. And you won't... You just like...
You've inspired him. I feel like.
I think he's just got time, right, Pete?
Yeah, I've been doing a lot of different meals. I made huevos rancheros the other day for a brunch at home, and this week I made a little chicken picada. I've really picked up a new hobby during the big Q.
May I suggest for breakfast next week, breakfast tacos?
Love that idea. I actually really do enjoy Mexican cuisine. It's just delicious. I love guac. I like tacos. The works, if you will.
By the way, he also doesn't like avocado, Pete. So there's
I don't like guac.
There's a lot of things he's not eating.
I don't know. I'm just saying that Gardetto's exist because of the Rideship. That's all I'm saying, right? Isn't it Gardetto's? I believe that's the correct food item. That's all.
Look, all you have to know is, like, his exact argument for Starburst is the reason. They make a bag of Chex Mix called the All Rye Chips. They don't make that if they're the worst. They don't make an all-orange Starburst bag.
They should.
Because people – oh, God, you're just – you're hurting your case. I'm trying to help here.
They should. Pete, I don't think you guys talk much about Rye Chips or anything today, but you did have a chance to talk with Andy Reid, and I know one of the topics was about this new onside kickoff alternative that's going to be voted on next Thursday. I love it. I think most Chiefs fans love it. What's your reaction, and what was Andy Reid's thoughts on it?
Yeah, I think if you're a fan of the Kansas City Chiefs, this plays right into your hands, right? I mean, you could almost start the game if you really wanted to do it. If, say, the Chiefs start with the ball, score a touchdown, I mean, you could really keep the ball for two more possessions if you're feeling yourself that day. And before the team even touches the ball, you could be up 21-0. So, of course, you're going to like it if you're a fan of the Chiefs. Third and long was just third and automatic last year. So, yeah, I think this is a rule that is Kansas City friendly. When it comes to Andy Reid, I mean, he had the mixed feelings on it. He said that the special teams guys, they aren't in love with it because, I mean, this would truly be the first step into getting rid of special teams a bit that you saw in leagues like the AAF and the XFL, where they're just starting to rule out some of these kick plays because maybe the game's safer. And if fans really enjoy it and it leads to more money on the bottom line, then, yeah, maybe we start to see less and less of these special teams plays. But essentially, he was like, okay, you know, I would probably favor not going to this because he is a traditionalist, having been a coach for 20-plus years in the National Football League. But at the same time, if it comes down to it, the Chiefs probably are best positioned in the NFL.
Andy also talked about the Rooney Rule a little bit as it related to Eric Bieniemy, and I know he spoke earlier in the week as well. One of the things that we kind of got into a little bit was he said, look, you know, it sucks. You wish you got more time, and it's only a couple of hours, and we know by then they already kind of make their decision. Why don't they just set rules for it? So Mike McCarthy can't stay the night at Jerry Jones' place. Everyone has a certain amount of time they're allowed, Pete, to spend with an individual ownership group, with an individual coach. When they go, you know, with owners, when they make those decisions, aren't there more things they can do to kind of limit people's favoritism going into these things, or is it just too late? You're going to make your decision on the guy you want no matter what.
Yeah, it's really, really tough. It's almost like you need to, in a sense, create a new department in the league office where it is essentially an interviewer auditor, where, like we've seen with companies, you know, in all kinds of business, the auditors here, they're going to basically watch and check to make sure that you're following the taxes and doing everything by the books. And until you get to that step, it's going to be unfair interview process. I think it's the Oakland Raiders. The Oakland Raiders probably knew that they wanted John Gruden about a year before they hired John Gruden. So how is that ever going to be a fair process where you're able to make sure the Rooney Rule is being followed and coming into play? So I completely agree with Andy Reid. And until you're seeing, I think, the league take these what'll seem like jarring and extreme measures, I don't think you're going to see any other difference. So, yeah, I agreed with Reid there. And it's just an interesting scenario in Kansas City because the more you listen to Eric Bieniemy, I can just tell he doesn't really necessarily want to be the face of this. But at the same time, I'm sure that the Chiefs, Reid, and Bieniemy are welcoming changes as long as they lead to some things. And that remains to be seen. Only time will tell us that.
Talking with Pete Sweeney, editor-in-chief over at Arrowhead Pride. Also, earlier this week down in Dallas, Clark Hunt spoke to a radio station at some event down in the Dallas area and was asked about Mahomes and a potential contract and said, you know, talks are going to start this summer. We know Chris Jones is out there as well for a long-term deal potentially, and that deadline's July 15th. You don't have that deadline for Mahomes, but what did you take away from that comment from Clark Hunt?
If talks haven't begun yet, I don't know what they're doing. I like what they've done in the past few years with drafting Patrick Mahomes and turning over the defense. But if you're telling me that Brett Veach and Lee Steinberg haven't had conversations at least to get this thing going, I don't know what the Chiefs are doing in this scenario. So I hope that was just something he said on the radio. I tend to think that these talks must be ongoing, maybe just was answering the question in a way in order to sort of get by it and whatnot. But, yeah, I think I speak for all of Kansas City and everyone on this program and everything like that that says, hey, we want this deal done yesterday. So the sooner this can happen, the better.
Do you think this, the current economic climate around COVID-19 and, you know, the Adam Schefter's out here saying maybe the salary cap could go down in the future, do you think that delays anything here with Mahomes?
I think if there's anything delaying it right now, it's what's happening with Chris Jones. I just feel like if they can come to a certain agreement where they can sort of put that money where, you know, or just have an understanding of where that money is going to come from. Because eventually you're going to have to pay him. I mean, we've seen, you know, the way they do these contracts is you can pay certain guys more money certain years so that you can sort of spread it out. But if they can ensure that that money is off the books for this year, I think that leads to a contract sooner rather than later. To me, that's the final chip that sort of has to fall before they can say, okay, we can commit this amount of money in 2020 and this amount of money moving forward for the next 3, 4, 5 years, whatever it ends up being.
Yeah, but they know, like, if there's one position that's not going to be impacted by a salary cap staying the same or not moving, it's quarterback. They'll just take up a larger percentage of everyone's cap.
Yeah, I understand that we live in a day-to-day thing now of no one knows what's going to happen. No one really knows what the future holds. But you're right. If there's one thing we know for sure, it's that even across the board, like when you take into account salary caps, I mean, the value, the pure value of a quarterback, thanks to the salary cap, it's just every quarterback in the league is pretty much underpaid anyway. And so, yes, I mean, it's always going to take up the biggest percentage, I think, of your salary cap. I imagine that, you know, when Clark Hunt says, oh, we're going to talk in the summer, you're still really not going to know what the impact is going to be next year in the summer. So, I don't know. To me, it's just like a little maddening when you just realize how important this guy is to the franchise. And again, the sooner the better.
You had a chance to catch up with the college coach of Legarius Sneed. He's one of those guys, Pete, him, Rashad Fenton, few of the other guys in the cornerback group. I'm trying to figure out who's the guy who best fills the role that is, I don't know, a possible suspension that could happen for Bashaud Breeland, depending on how any of that stuff went down or the trouble he was in before, the legal trouble with a possible positive test. So, like, all the stuff that comes with that. In evaluating Legarius Sneed's game, is there a guy like him or Fitton that I should expect to be kind of a more immediate contributor at the beginning of the season than had any role in last year? Because for the most part, Sneed wasn't around, but Fitton didn't really play much last year.
Yeah, I mean, I think the Chiefs, if Bashaud Breeland is suspended, and at this point I think we all expect that, they could rely more on their safeties who have experience. I mean, we saw times when the Chiefs are running out three safeties with Thornhill, Matthew, and Sorensen. I think training camp's going to be huge for Sneed to fill that role if Breeland, if he is suspended, because they're going to want to make sure that he's ready to go. And again, this is a fourth rounder. This isn't really necessarily a top pick. He does have cornerback experience. He has safety experience. He's versatile. So I think the Chiefs really like that in him. Until they get him on the field, they're not going to know. I've said this on our podcast channel already. I think a name that a lot of people might be overlooking is Antonio Hamilton. I think he could start at outside cornerback for at least a handful of games for you. He did so the last game for the New York Giants last year and ended up having four passes defensed in the game. And so, don't get me wrong, I think this guy is a gunner and a special teamer for the Chiefs in the long term. But could he fill in for 2, 3 games, whatever it ends up being? I tend to think so. But Legarius Sneed, to me, is your long-term guy that you're going to want to develop into another outside cornerback, similar to what you were able to do with Charvarius Ward.
Nice 3-day weekend ahead, Pete. Big plans?
You know what? I have just been in my house for, it feels like, 2 months. I've been doing a little bit of running, trying to get back into shape. But I'm going to be leaving my house for the first time this weekend. It's a big night tonight. I have a mane, so I'm getting rid of that for my haircut. And then we'll picnic in the park on Saturday. We'll barbecue on Sunday. I mean, it's a big, big time weekend.
That sounds like a regular person holiday weekend almost, Pete. It's like borderline normal.
Yeah, there'll be masks and social distancing involved. But, you know, if there's one thing you know about me, Cody, it's I like to spend a little hot time on the weekend. So
there it is. Pete Sweeney joining us each and every Friday. Appreciate it, man. That's
Take care, guys.
The editor-in-chief over at Arrowhead Pride. For that picnic, he needs the rain to hold off. I was looking at the forecast. It's supposed to rain most of the weekend. That's the only bummer about it.
You mentioned you mentioned Antonio Hamilton, too. I mean, really thinking he's going to be a guy that...
Yeah, we were going through, and going through, you know, like basically surprise guys or whatever, or who has a bigger role than people think.
Yeah.
And you know, what Pete said there is kind of some of the same stuff. I believe because of Breeland potential absence that's there, yeah, if you're asking me a surprise, I think it's more likely than Antonio Hamilton than Sneed. fills in, just based off long, you know, one's a rookie and one's not, and if they really did like what they saw when Hamilton played corner at the back end of the season. So I think, yeah, I mean, if you're asking me for someone to throw out there that surprises, I absolutely would agree with that. Yeah, we had that same conversation last week or so.
Yeah, I mean, I can see it, and he's not the only person saying it. I still lean towards Rashad Fenton's role increasing, but that mean, you know, we talk about position battles, not that that really matters, but, like, they're going to need somebody else to be okay, passable, decent in that secondary, especially in the early going. They got two or three choices, just depends on who it lands on.
Get to what's trending in about 15 minutes here on Cody and Gold, but it's time to find out what we're watching over the weekend.
Hold
each
up.
Week we come up with our weekend movie nominations. The theme this week was Nicolas Cage movies. The four nominees were Lord of War, Gone in 60 Seconds, The Weatherman, and National Treasure. Now, there's 16 minutes left to vote, but quite honestly, it doesn't really matter.
Certain streak is over.
It's been a runaway. Cody finally is going to break the streak. National Treasure, 53.4% of the vote. That's the winner. Second place, Gone in 60 Seconds, 33.7. Lord of War, 8.3%, and The Weatherman, 4.7%.
Man, you were right, sir. People really were never going to vote for The Weatherman.
Yeah.
You said it when you put it on there. You're like, no one's ever going to vote for it.
I should have picked Kick-Ass.
Yeah, and I like that movie, too. I initially was going Con Air, and that might have gave you a little bit of a run for your money on National Treasure.
God, I mean, I won by 20%.
Con Air or Face Off probably would have stood up.
Face Off didn't even win the other day in 90s action movies. I lost to Air Force One. No, wait.
No, you did lose to it, but that wasn't the – you lost to every movie, I think, on that in that poll.
Which is insane. Did I lose to every movie in that poll?
I don't know if you
– I think I finished third.
Maybe not dead last.
I think there was one that was below.
I think we all expected the minute you said National Treasure. I think I was like, oh, that's winning. It's, as we said, it's been a lot of the popular movies there. I like Gone in 60 Seconds better than Con Air, so I went with it. That's all.
Either way, if you're looking for a movie to watch this weekend, we're all watching National Treasure.
The original. Right?
Yes, the original.
National Treasure. I know it's not the same plot at all.
It's not. The second one's not National Treasures. No. You said treasure, like, singular was the, like, alien versus aliens.
No.
You said it like the plural was.
I'm actually glad this one. I haven't seen National Treasure in a long time. I'm fine with watching.
At least it's not Indiana Jones.
Have you seen National Treasure?
Yeah, the original.
Okay.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm just
bits
asking.
And pieces of it.
I saw
an entire.
I saw both of them in a movie theater.
I think I saw the first one in the theater. I don't think I saw the second.
Text line not happy that there's no Con Air. Again, we weren't saying these were the best. It was just your favorite Nicolas Cage movie. I didn't say it was the best. I didn't say Gone in 60 Seconds was the best Nicolas Cage movie he's ever been in.
I also didn't say it was my favorite. I just chose a movie. It's not always my favorite 90s action movie.
No.
It's just whichever movie I choose within there. Look, I'm happy to be – I've won two now. How many have you won? Have you won
two.
Three? Two. We're tied?
Yeah, two or three. Two. Serta won like four or five.
Serta's won three in a row.
Next week, on Wednesday, we'll determine a theme. You guys can already start thinking and let us know on the text line. We need a theme. It was Nicolas Cage. It was 90s and before that. It was
2000 Best Pictures.
Yeah, so we can figure out. We can go specific actor. We can go director. We can do a certain year period.
Genre.
All kinds of options there. So
and we haven't done treasure. Horror yet. We haven't done horror films yet.
Yeah.
I don't watch a lot of horror movies either.
Yeah,
I'm just
I don't even know what I would nominate on that one. So there you go. Again, we'll get to what's trending in about 12 minutes. But we had heard a lot from coaches and presidents and athletic directors on the college front and commissioners. Bob Bowlsby joined the guys on the drive yesterday, as a matter of fact. And most of it has been more about when is it going to be okay to have activity start up. And we know the NCAA gave the all clear. Yesterday, Missouri athletic director Jim Stirk was on with Paul Feinbaum. And here's what he had to say. Just listen carefully because it's a little bit different than what we've heard from other officials when it comes to testing and how universities are approaching it.
Yeah, that's another good question as far as the testing. I've heard from our medical folks, you know, it'll be around $65 a test that they would do. But we've had advice that the best prevention and the best way to handle this is doing all those preventative measures of testing temperature, keeping things sanitized, making sure that we're screening on a daily basis, we're masked if you can't keep the 6 feet separation, making sure that people at risk take extra precautions, all of those things that to try to prevent. And then if there are symptoms, that then you test. And so we're not, at this point in time, we're not going to be testing everyone as they come in. We could, if things change and the validity of the test improve, we might do that. But from our experts are saying it's better on the prevention side, and then to test and trace from there.
So that was interesting. Coupling one, $65 a test. You could start doing the math on how that's going to add up quick for these universities.
Yeah. And if you just do it for college football.
And I am not saying their reasoning for not doing consistent testing is strictly financial. I'm not going to put that on them whatsoever. I do think it's a factor.
Of course it is.
It absolutely has to be. It's also a little bit different, though. He is saying that they're basically going to take the more prevention approach than even worrying about the testing. And I think you do both, but they're going to go more about they're not going to really test people unless they think they actually have it, which I don't want to get in that whole debate with people necessarily. But that's interesting. It's different than what we've heard from other athletic directors.
That's why it's of note. Everyone else to this point, not just athletic directors, these people who have like run leagues, everybody to this point, Gold, has said the same thing, which is testing, 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 testing. What do major league players want? Testing. They want constant testing. They want the ability to have tests. They need them to be regular and available. You know, like, that's been the entire motto of everything. And now he's just saying, we'll just test people if they're sick. They're showing symptoms. You're like, okay. Like, this is different logic. Missouri is maybe going on different logic than anybody else, or maybe this is what every college is going to do.
Because
it's expensive. There's a lot that goes into
it. Test.
But I mean, here's the inherent risk of that is yeah, there are a lot of asymptomatic younger people, right? So if they're all asymptomatic, and one person finally shows symptoms, it could have already gone through a third of your team, who then exposed other people. You know, like, this is the issue at play is. It could have gone further down the road, right? If you wait to test until people are asymptomatic versus just test them, you know, once a week, twice a week to find out if people are contracting the virus.
And over on the Smitty's Garage Burger Beer text line, 69306 from the 913, the public wants test twos. Don't get me wrong, I miss sports, but I'm not going to prioritize them getting tests over regular people in need. And even the you know, and we had Peter Vermees on from Sporting KC yesterday, and remember, they had been on the forefront, really, of all these leagues, truly, about securing their own testing and finding workout protocols that work and everything like that. It's interesting. The universities, what we haven't heard, are they going out on their own and having to get these tests? I know they're public universities, so I don't know if there's a, you know.
It's probably a combination, but yeah, for the most part, the universities are probably responsible.
Are they going out on their own? Or are they working with their? I'm assuming they're also what's available to them in their own state. You know, right? Are they? Where Sporting KC, I have no idea where they got them, but I'm assuming a lot of those private partnerships, given their relationships and the ownership background and everything. But the universities that are public, since they are public
their
universities,
owner owns a large medical company.
We're talking about for Sporting KC. But I'm talking about for the universities being, if they're public, is that coming directly from whatever the amount of tests are available from the state, is that where the university is having to go out and find those private partnerships as well, even though they're a public university?
I think it's more the private partnerships because people understand that athletics don't qualify under the same guidelines of necessary, right? Those are like the texter just said. Those are things that we want them to have it, but should we be prioritizing those over normal citizens? No, and normal citizens are having a hard enough time getting tests if they're showing symptoms too. So it still creates problems. This is just the first time I've heard anybody say that. Nah, we're not going to test all the time. We're just going to wait till people show symptoms and then worry about it then. That's why it seemed like of note to me that Jim Sterk had put that out there.
Coming up next here on Cody and Gold, we'll get into what's trending in sports today, plus more from Andy Reid, what he had to say before we wrap things up for a big weekend slate on a holiday weekend.
Cody and Gold, brought to you by Crossroads Investment Lending, the fix and flip guys at caseylend.com. What's trending?
All right, let's check in on the hot topics trending.
Number one here on Cody and Gold, Keith Smith of Yahoo reporting that if the NBA does resume and have all 30 teams at a single site, that game days are going to look a lot like the Summer League. If anybody's ever watched those, that basically all day long you'll have games starting around 11 o'clock our time.
Hell
until
yeah.
The regular season is complete, and then the playoffs would go back to a regular schedule. Yeah, what you just said, exactly. who wouldn't want that? That sounds fantastic.
Please.
All day long, NBA basketball for the final six or seven games that each team has. and it's not Summer League. It's the same Summer League format, but it's not crappy Summer League. It's real basketball while they tune up and get ready to go for the playoffs. Yeah, this would be fantastic.
Why you gotta trash the Summer League?
So I watched the Summer League this past year because everybody wanted to see Zion, and so did I.
Yeah.
And then he barely played, and then he got hurt, remember? And then he was done the rest of Summer League, and so I lost my interest. I think even Carrington mentioned he was going to, like, fly out to Vegas and go watch some Summer League. I don't know if he ended up doing that because of that. I watched Summer League more than I had, only because I was hoping to see Zion, but that was short-lived.
Yeah, it didn't last long there for it, did you? Number two for what's trending, former Jazz coach Jerry Sloan has died at the age of 78 after his battle with Parkinson. He was the Jazz coach for 34 years, and there's a lot of tremendous stories. Obviously, he was in that finals that we just most recently watched, the 97-98 squad as well, but a tremendously accomplished coach. By all accounts, a great man. Unfortunately, dies at the age of 78 after a long battle.
Yeah.
He's been in poor health for a while. Not unexpected necessarily.
Yeah.
But still really sad for his family and friends.
Yeah, very sad news out of the NBA. Number three on what's trending. A new update also on the latest with Jamal Adams out there in the New York Jets. Their safety is... Earlier today, it was reported that there's an impasse currently on a long-term deal between Jets management and Jamal Adams. The latest from Gary Myers out in New York, longtime Dallas sports writer, says that Jamal Adams, quote, "The Cowboys are seriously in play now that they confirmed the Jets won a first and third round pick for Adams." He went on to say the Cowboys are $5.6 million under the cap and need to get a long-term deal done with Dak to lower his franchise tag number in order to sign Adams. So they got some work to do to get it done, but that's a well-connected individual sourced up talking about the compensation to get Jamal Adams. Jets want a first and a third. If you're the Cowboys.
They're going to pay Adams too and still not pay Dak.
We joke about the salary cap. If they...
I love it.
Yeah, but unless they work out a deal with Dak and lower the cap number, I don't know if they can get under. They have $5.6 million under the cap right now. We know it's always they can get someone else maybe
sure.
to take a pay cut. But they need to get a long-term deal done with Dak in order to get to the number they need to sign Adams.
There's so other people who can probably be cut. This is the same as like the Chiefs scenario we goofed around about.
True.
I would laugh comically if they went through the way they're going to pay Amari Cooper, pay Ezekiel Elliott, pay Jamal Adams and let Dak Prescott walk while some other Brandon Whedon-type quarterback holds down the fort in 2021.
You're Dak, you got to be sitting here saying, wait, Zeke's getting paid, I'm patient. Amari Cooper's getting paid, I'm being patient. And then they're going to go bring in somebody else?
And pay him too?
We'll see. It doesn't mean it's going to happen, but
I'll take less this year, but that number better come in where it's supposed to be if you want to sign Jamal Adams that bad. Number four for what's trending, as we see the continuing trend towards things opening back up in the sports world. The SEC has announced that teams can return to voluntary workouts on campus starting June 8th. Now, that comes just a day after we heard all the NCAA saying that things can really open for business June 1st. But we were still kind of waiting, right? Like, how long will it be before that? Sounds like the SEC is going to let people come back pretty quick. And if the SEC's saying it's voluntary workouts, expect student athletes to be there. And again, it is COVID testing is going to vary from state to state. You know, that even according to like Dave Matter not that long ago. We just talked about Jim Sterk saying, we're just going to wait until they show symptoms. That doesn't necessarily represent every team in the SEC. They're essentially just going to let them all handle their own business.
Well, I think it has to be that way. I mean, I get why it's an interview because, as you said, each
this is why they should have a union to be able to collectively bargain.
Yeah.
It's absurd that some schools would be like, "Nah, we're not going to test you," and others like, "We'll test you all the time." Like, there should be some.
If they're willing to have a union for all the student athletes,
yes,
you can't just have it benefiting college football players. It's got to benefit the lacrosse player and the soccer player. If you're going to do a union, you got to be willing to pay union dues and all the issues that come with that as well. All right, lastly, on what's trending. The Pittsburgh Steelers reportedly holding back half of their individual game tickets. So if you are a season ticket holder, they're
good.
They're collecting your money, no problem. They're doing that. But the Steelers, any leftover single game tickets on sale, which went on sale this morning for Pittsburgh, the Chiefs, it was over a week ago for them. But they're being proactive, they say, in having a limited amount of tickets available as they're preparing for possible social distancing scenarios at Heinz Field. Makes all the sense in the world. You'd have to deal with the refund mess that comes with it. But if they already are looking at plans, and maybe the Steelers, and I would imagine other teams as well, for all we know, So this was publicly from Pittsburgh. For all we know, and I can't speak to the Chiefs, they may have already done. They just may not have announced it. We really don't know. They could have held back individual game tickets. We have no idea.
Could have. This is the first team we've heard do this, though.
Exactly. But if Pittsburgh's doing it, you tell me they're the only. It's the only team we know of. I would imagine other teams have thought about this.
Well, so here's the thing. Handing out refunds sucks.
Yep.
But having the money in your hand to earn interest or to pay for things,
yep,
right now is also kind of nice. Because you could slowly pay back refunds in the time and manner in which you do. Having the money in-house right away sometimes is nice. So every team doesn't necessarily have to do this. But I think we all know that even if fans are allowed in the stands, I really seriously doubt they're going to be full stadiums to start the NFL season.
That's what's trending here on Cody and Gold. Coming up in about 6 minutes, we'll get to our weekend slate. Heading into a hopefully fun Memorial Day weekend. Well, it'll be different than what we've ever seen, but hopefully people are having some fun, still finding some plans. I know we've got a couple things in line we'll get to in just a little bit. But Andy Reid did speak today, and I want to start with along the lines of the Pittsburgh Steelers and how they're approaching the season, but how is the league approaching potential precautions for games this year? Andy Reid was asked about those precautions.
Well, they're going through a lot of things, whether it's studies of other sports that are starting up around the world. They're keeping close track on that. I'm sure they've talked about it. I haven't been in the meetings, but I know they're meeting a lot on exactly player safety and fan safety. So I know whatever they come up with will be good. And it's also the union that works with the players union also works with them on that. So they'll come up with a good solution. I don't know what those are right now, but I know we'll be good once it happens.
The NFL has the luxury to see how Major League Baseball is going to institute and really how the feedback they get from those guidelines. Same with the NBA, same with the NHL, MLS, you name it. And so the NFL, I'm sure they already have in mind what guidelines they're going to have, but they can tweak it based off what's working in these other sports leagues. That's the luxury the NFL has. I'm sure they will have very similar guidelines, but maybe by the time also September comes around, people view, health officials view that, you know what, you maybe don't need to have this same guideline, and this is something you don't need to have available. That's the position the NFL's in, and so they're going to release their own guidelines, but they got time to do it. They might need guidelines for training camp, but those guidelines can be different than the guidelines come September 10th when the Chiefs are hosting the Texans.
No, but the thing is, though, they might need guidelines sooner than that because...
Just for workouts, you mean?
Well, they're starting to hit that level, I would say, because now that these states are opening up, these people will actually, you know, these teams are actually going to start having a choice in what they do. Like, I know the league is not allowing them to fully open the facilities, but pretty much every state has said, we'll give a pass to sports. Whether you think that's the right decision or not, pretty much at this point, every state has just given a pass to sports. So they got to make a decision on if their protocol is going to follow the model of, we'll allow them to do whatever. But yeah, I mean, I don't, you know, Andy's saying, yeah, they'll make the right decision. I trust that they're not going to, like, screw, they're going to, you know, do things so absurd that's going to cause problems. But you're right. They have the luxury of time, a whole lot of time to figure out, you know, what their next play is.
The NFL, over the last couple of years, have made, you know, health and safety decisions based off of really making the onside kick nearly impossible and trying to make that play safer. So that's prompted an onside kick alternative, which is going to be voted on next Thursday, according to Tom Pelissero. 4th and 15 option from your own 25. You convert that, you keep the football after a score or after any type of score. And instead of having to try an onside kick.
The Chiefs going to keep Mahomes in this scenario, right?
They do. They do get to keep Mahomes. It's not, yeah, we'll approve this, but you have to put your backup quarterback in.
You can't let Mahomes do it.
You can
unfair.
Only do it if Chad Henne is actually in the game at that point in time. You cannot have Mahomes. That would be quite the wrinkle into the rule, wouldn't it? But you don't have to be trailing. You can only do it two times a game. What does Andy Reid think about that?
I don't know if it's going to pass or not. I know the special teams coaches aren't real big on that. You know, it takes away obviously one of the elements of theirs. And then it's also the kickoff, which has been under scrutiny here, and kickoff returns. So, you know, to keep the integrity of the game, you like that part of it. On the other hand, if it does pass and we've got a guy that can do 4th and 15s. I mean, he would give us an opportunity to be able to do that. So I've got kind of mixed thoughts on it. I would probably stick, being an old guy, I'd probably stick with the integrity of the game as it sits right now, but I can also see where the other part could be exciting.
They definitely got a guy who, there's no question about that, they definitely got a guy who could do 4th and 15.
The just swagger that comes out of that answer that casually for a minute. Like, few people can even say that and people not laugh them out of the building. Hey, if they do it, they got a guy who can handle 4th and 15s. Like, God, it's just so, again, the swagger level to be able to say that with zero fear of repercussion. What a delight.
16 times last year, Mahomes dropped back to pass on 3rd and 15 or 4th and 15 or longer, and he was 12 of 16, 3 TDs, and a 156.3 passer rating. Yeah, feel pretty confident about that situation if it arises. But what he said about just kind of, hey, it's the almost kind of the old guard, if you will. I wonder how many of the owners and those that are voting on this resolution next week are going to have that viewpoint. That they're like, that's a huge change. How many are willing to adapt? And I guess we'll get that answered next Thursday when that resolution comes out.
I mean, there was a report that it's grown momentum. And the reason why is because what other option do you have at the end of the game? If you're desperate, what's your choice? If you need to get the ball one more time and you don't have enough timeouts, what's your choice? You don't have one. You have the onside kick.
Yeah.
And the odds of getting
once a year, maybe?
Dude.
Once a whole football season?
Yeah.
Out of 256 games or whatever it is.
Yeah, there'll be twice it goes down. Like, that's not enough of an opportunity. And look, maybe it only ends up being twice next year if they do this 4th and 15 rule where it actually works. But at least, like, where you feel like you have a real chance? When your quarterback has the ball and there are receivers going down the field, like, the onside kick is not an exciting play. It is for, like, a millisecond occasionally, right? But a guy standing back there at 4th and 15 to drop back and throw, there's almost no way where that isn't fun. Like, that's, if you're talking about, adding excitement to the game, that does that in spades immediately. I really like the idea. I hope it passes. Now, again, greedy because they've got the right guy there, but still. I love it. I hope it passes. I really do.
We'll learn that next Thursday. Let's get to our weekend slate. Well, it's a Memorial Day weekend, so we get 3-day weekend.
We need yours too, by the way. 693-06. Let's go. What everyone's doing this weekend.
What's everybody doing for your weekend slate? I know it's supposed to rain a little bit. Maybe that'll deter some people. Hopefully not, but because I definitely want to get the grill out. Definitely want to do a little grilling. Memorial Day, generally, to me, is more grilling than even 4th of July, just personally. I do it on both. I've always Memorial Day. The reason why I say this, Cody. Here we go again. I look at it. You guys should see the look on Cody's face, the disgust that he has with me, really.
Obviously, the 4th of July is like the grilling holiday.
It is. The reason why I said I view Memorial Day more. Well, hear me out.
Okay.
It's the first time for a lot of people that they're able to do so, depending on where they live in the country. It's warming up. You're heading into the month of June.
I've already grilled like
so have
six
I. Cody,
times.
So have I, but I am not the only one. Memorial Day weekend is kind of viewed, I guarantee
that's
you.
That's when pools open. Memorial Day
it's
is
all of
for
it. It's,
pool.
It's the summer feel. It's a summer feel to everything.
That's the pool holiday. Memorial Day isn't going to be the grilling holiday. Also, it's the pool holiday.
Bet you they sell a bunch of grills this weekend. Maybe not in Kansas City. Maybe not in Kansas City. It's going to rain. But yeah, of course you grill on 4th of July, but Memorial Day is the first holiday where you're grilling of the year. Is that a better way to put it? Are you okay with that? First holiday of the year where you can grill? Okay.
Sure.
All right.
Sure. Want yours at 693-06. What's everyone have coming up this weekend? I'll be building a table for my Memorial Day. I was going to start it tonight, but I think I'm just going to start first thing tomorrow morning. There's some in the actual table building. There's some things that have to be set up before you could do that. But I got that, and then I've got a drive-through party for my niece.
A drive-through party?
Okay, so
a
like she's got – yeah. She's got a birthday coming up, but they're not having a party because people aren't really doing that at the moment, having big kid birthday parties. So we've been instructed, just like the other people who've done it, to drive by, say hello to her, then we'll get her a present or something.
Yeah,
she's turning 10. That's a milestone
it
age.
It is. It is. The match this Sunday, You gonna watch this? Tiger, Peyton Manning, Tom Brady, Phil Mickelson gonna show down for charity. Gonna raise at least $10 million. It's gonna be more than that with the side bets and all that. Sunday around 2 o'clock in the afternoon. Yeah, I'm gonna tune in. We did our over unders earlier. I'd say I'll watch more than three holes of it. Especially early on. I think if you're going to try to watch early when the guys are not focused into winning quite as much yet. Later on, they're going to become way more competitive. They're going to want to truly win. That's what happened on the match a couple years ago. Phil and Tiger were talking early, then they really were locked in because they wanted to win. The competitive instincts took over. So early on, I want to see what a little joking around Peyton Manning with Tom Brady and Tiger Woods.
I'll definitely watch some. I like sports on holiday weekends. Like, that's, you know, like baseball on the 4th or NBA on Christmas or football on Thanksgiving. I like having sports on in the back of holiday weekends.
Hey.
So I'll watch some of the match, sure.
And then there's the Lance documentary. So Last Dance is done. We know that. Parts 9 to 10 were this past Sunday. The Lance Armstrong documentary titled Lance debuts on ESPN Sunday night. Two-parter. 1 hour on this Sunday. 1 hour the following Sunday. I watched a clip of it over the last day or so. And I know Lance Armstrong isn't a likable guy by any means, but I'm still going to watch.
He straight up sucks.
Yeah, it's not even just
that.
He does suck. It's not just that he doped and cheated, whatever your viewpoint is on cheating. It's the fact that anybody that brought it up to him or accused him of it, he was so adamantly denying it and also trashing people and ruining careers of other people because they questioned it. And then, of course, now he over the years, he's admitted to doing it. But I think it's going to be kind of an interesting look at Lance Armstrong and just his viewpoint. He said he started doping at age 21.
He also complained about the way he's portrayed in this. How do you expect to be portrayed? You cheated for 20 years.
He apparently didn't.
You lied about severe. Then you were like a jerk to everyone. Plus, we all know Sheryl Crow's into lying. He broke up with her. This is all bad.
You a big Sheryl Crow fan?
I don't know. She just seems nice.
I didn't know. I didn't know if you have some feelings towards Sheryl Crow or not.
Mostly, I was just looking for another reason to be mean.
Yeah.
No,
I'm going to watch it, though.
He's going to come off like a jerk, and he should because he's a jerk.
Yeah. Well, I was thinking back to you. Remember, like,
the arrogance to do it for that long and to say you didn't do it. My God. Yeah. That's why I still hate A-Rod. He's lied about it multiple times. Being honest, now is too late. He was a cheat.
A-Rod's still way more likable than Lance Armstrong.
Disagree. They're equally unlikable.
Okay.
They both suck.
Yeah, Lance I don't Armstrong. Like either of them.
A-Rod is still, you may not like either, but if you're doing a scale and we were to poll people, A-Rod, not popularity.
Hey, you could do the same thing. Like, Alex, I always put the swimmers on and do. Just put a poll. Who sucks more? Yeah. Lance Armstrong or A-Rod?
Yeah, and I think the answer is Lance Armstrong way more than A-Rod.
Maybe.
Other than that, on the weekend slate, yeah, you're doing the table building.
Yep.
I'll be staining a fireplace mantle. Very thrilling weekend.
Wow, we are.
But I need a few beer recommendations from both you and Serta for the long weekend. I need to cycle through some local beers here. Do you have one to throw out there?
Local beers?
Show, I'm gonna run by the liquor store on the way home. Seriously. And,
okay, so one, the current seasonal out for KC Beer Company, Der Bauer, is fan. I guess I would call it, they're going to be mad at my description of it, I guess. I would call it more of a farmhouse style.
Okay.
But it's a very good beer.
Okay.
It might be my favorite of their entire line of beers. Okay. All their beers.
KC Beer, seasonal.
So their Der Bauer is fantastic. Okay. I really like Crane Brewing down in Raytown. You can get carry out from them. I'm assuming you've had them.
Mm-hmm. Farmhouse IPA. That's where it's at.
Yeah, the farmhouse is really good.
From Crane or from?
From Crane.
Okay. Yeah.
From Crane. Their IPAs. Yeah, their farmhouse IPA is really good. Gosh.
That's good. I mean, that's good. I'll go serve.
Cinderblock, if you haven't had some of their stuff to go, could be
it's a long weekend. It means it's an
There's
extra,
a lot of
it's
good
an extra
beer.
Night of drinking.
I
normally I wouldn't drink
that.
On Sunday night. Now I can drink on Sunday night as well.
I want to try that cherry limeade Rattler from Boulevard too. But I don't think it's out yet.
Cherry limeade Rattler. That sounds like a good day drinking beverage if you're around the pool, even though the pools aren't open. That's like a good hot day.
I'm going to sit by my
that's
kid's
not one
pool
of those.
On Sunday. I'm going to fill up that kiddie pool when it's supposed to be like 85 or 90 on Sunday. I'm going to sit next to there and drink a cherry limeade Rattler.
I think it's supposed to rain during that. That's the only problem.
Worth it.
Someone says your party that you're having for the
drive-through
one sounds 500 times better than a real party.
10-year-old birthday parties aren't great for 35-year-old adults. But when you have kids and your siblings have kids, I've been to so many of these parties now, I'm just used to it.
People sending me a few recommendations now, too, on the text line. Crook and Marker.
I've had them.
Someone says, people are recommending Crook and Marker for the diet-friendly, supposedly doesn't taste as bad as seltzer ones. I'm not on the diet thing. There is the quarantine 15 that people are gaining.
Oh, yeah.
This isn't local, but I've been drinking it a lot. The Elysian Contact Haze IPA. It's fantastic.
I've seen that one before. I don't know if I've had it. I have seen that one come across.
Okay. From our friends over at Flying Horseman, I don't know if they're doing the deal again this weekend. They had a flatbread deal that came with two tall boys at Bell's Two Hearted, and I got after it with those. There's a lot of good choices.
The curbside,
Bell's Two Hearted is not local. That's in Michigan.
Yeah, but the curbside option, we talk about the cocktails to go and everything. Hopefully those are the kind of things that stay. Like the curbside beer availability and restaurants allowing you to get like to-go beers from your curbside pickup and all that.
I kind of like browsing a little bit. Like, I like the ability to stand in the store and look. But, yeah, I'm with you. Sometimes I just want to pick it up and go. Maybe tonight I'll go pick it up.
Someone that works for Boulevard texted in, says the Cherry Rattler is not out yet.
Damn it. Damn it.
There you go.
I need that for Sunday. Can you get me a can? I'll just have to go with one. They've got other
Rattlers. The Space Camper Variety Pack. That is what I have been drinking over the last 2 months.
I got that 2 weeks ago, and it was great.
Yeah.
That's exactly right.
I've only gotten that once. I've tried to buy it multiple times, but they never have it. The only time that I actually saw it at the liquor store was when I got one time.
So good.
Let's get to the final word.
The final word.
Are you working on something?
Yes, final word. I was looking for the link, and I actually have it already in here. I just wanted to give a shout-out. I don't care about the cell phone company in particular. Overall, it doesn't really matter who it is. But I think it's pretty cool what one particular mobile provider is doing. It is T-Mobile, but they are offering 10 years free cell service for first responders. Next 10 years. I think Verizon's done something as well, but it's kind of a final word that carries over from what we usually do, which is something good. I think, again, like to point out something good as we head into the weekend, and it's pretty cool. Free mobile service for first responders for 10 years now available. Verizon's doing something for as long as people need it under the first responder category as well. So whether it's 10 years or whatever, I think it's pretty cool. I mean, trying to help out people that certainly have been risking their own lives for everybody else during this.
It's very cool. Honestly, there's been a lot of cool stuff that happens with first responders. I'm glad any company that's willing to support them in any way. Because they do much more important work than you and I.
No question.
It's not particularly close. Losing by a mile.
Well, I hope everybody does have a safe and a fun, fantastic Memorial Day weekend. We're back at it on Tuesday. Who knows what's going to happen with sports? By then, maybe we have dates, permanent dates. We don't know when it comes to when baseball is coming back. We're back at it Tuesday, 10 to 2. The Drive coming up next.
Cody and Gold, brought to you by Crossroads Investment Lending, the fix and flip guys at caseylend.com.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.